Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Everybody's favorite basketball player, Caitlin Clark, reportedly set to wear her own signature Nike sneaker in the WNBA. This is from CNN.
Saw that coming.
Yeah. Clark helped lift women's college basketball to new heights. We all know that. Leading scorer in NCAA basketball history. She is set to sign an 8-year deal worth up to $28 million. With Nike.
Wow. So last week they were predicting it was going to be $22 million because of her number.
Wait, what was the number you just said?
$28 million deal with Nike, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Good.
Wow.
You know, she had her choice, obviously. I think Adidas was in the running. Maybe Under Armour was in the running. And in the end, she went with Nike.
She's also signed deals with State Farm, Gatorade, Panini, and other endorsement deals that are valued at roughly $3 million.
They all knew she was going Nike from day one.
I don't know. You know, they have to put this in front of you and woo you and lay out the whole thing. And good for her.
Yeah. She deserves it. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who remember about 40 years ago, one of the greatest movies of all time, Footloose.
Oh, good Lord.
Kevin Bacon has delivered on his promise to return to the Utah High School, where his iconic 1984 film Footloose was filmed.
Oh, God.
Bacon appeared at Payson High School on Saturday night, months after the school's students launched the Bacon to Payson social media campaign. Part of the effort, students recreated movie scenes, choreographed videos, in hopes of catching the actor's attention so that he would appear at their final prom.
Wow, Bacon to Payson, and he did it!
Yep. Payson High School is set to relocate at the end of the school year, and the school where that movie was filmed is to be torn down. Huh.
Good. Good for him.
He addressed the students in part of his speech on Saturday. Kevin Bacon thanked the students for, quote, turning what could be just a movie star coming back to get a pat on the back into something really positive.
Now, I wish that he had done what they originally requested, and had he actually shown up to the prom and done a little dance number. That would have been incredible. Incredible what he did. But
in that maroon tuxedo he wore to the dance.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Good for him.
Okay, now to the story out of Lawrence. Here we go. The Lawrence City Commission meeting on Tuesday of last week was briefly derailed after multiple public commenters on Zoom, engaged in racist and anti-Semitic hate speech and insulted another commenter. Commissioners voted to enter a 10-minute recess about 40 minutes into Tuesday's meeting after what appeared to be three commenters talked over another one, calling her a word I can't say on the radio, and then berating her. It starts with a C, by the way. The woman had spoken out after one of the others spent their 3-minute comment period decrying diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives as exclusive and, quote, stealing from white people. This is Lawrence, people. From there, multiple commenters began talking over one another and repeating racist and anti-Semitic slurs. Two of them showed images on Zoom windows of Nazi imagery.
Good God.
Including one who showed a swastika. One commenter said, and I quote, "The Holocaust never happened, but it should have. White blanking power. We're sending the blanks back to Africa."
The city has come out to say that they are looking over their options when it comes to the public comments. Hate speech is protected speech.
That is correct.
But would I want to sit there and be subjected to that? No. Would I certainly want to be the platform that allowed that to go out into the universe if you're the city? Hell no.
By the way, this is from the Lawrence Journal World.
What are they supposed to do, Scott?
You have to shut that meeting down.
Okay. Every time? I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, you know, the city is consulting its attorneys today saying, what do we do if this is protected speech? What are we supposed to do about this?
And you would agree, and I think you just said a minute ago, this is, I mean, even as horrible as a certain person from, who's now dead, thank
horrible,
God.
Horrible.
From a certain church, and I use church in air quotes, in Topeka, as abhorrent as his speech was, you would agree it was protected, right?
It was protected speech.
And
it
this
has
is,
to be protected.
That's right.
Because you don't want the government deciding what it is you and I can say.
And this was a public forum in a city commission meeting in Lawrence where, as despicable as what these people said, it has to be protected. And as much as I disagree with it and I hate it.
Okay, it's protected, but do you have to provide the public forum for it?
Hence the word public.
Well,
where else are you going to provide it?
I don't know what they're, you know that they're meeting with their attorneys today saying, what do we do about this?
Now, had this been a private company doing some sort of board meeting and this guy
this
came
the
in, they would have every right to shut it down. But to Scott's point, when you tag the word public in the front of it.
I mean, again, not to repeat myself.
If they were in the room, would that not fall under like public nuisance or.
On what ground?
Assault. Because I would feel threatened. If they were in the room screaming those things, I would feel threatened. 100%.
You're not even Jewish.
I would still feel threatened if two lunatics came in and started spewing the hate that they were spewing.
In that situation, I think you as a person could file suit against the offender. I still think
on
that they would have
ground?
A tough time just feeling threatened. I think that they would have a tough time kicking them out and having the Supreme Court handle that one 8 years down the road because you know how long that process takes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what...
Were they yelling?
Would it matter?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think tone and intonation and all of those things matter. I had a police officer say to me once, if someone is screaming at you over the fence of your backyard, call us. That is illegal.
But they're screaming at you. Therefore, you can feel
instead of screaming on a Zoom
or to a group
in a public forum.
Yeah. If somebody is yelling at you over a fence line, Dana, you have a right, and I would argue almost an obligation, to feel threatened. But if I am yelling at a group of people, but I'm not targeting one person in particular, to whom have I committed the crime?
I don't know, I'm asking an attorney as we speak.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. This occurred last week at the Lawrence
City
Commission.
The fact that they are, quote, mulling their options says to me they are hunkered down with an attorney who's probably telling them there's not a whole lot you can do about this. Unless they are disrupting the meeting, and then I think you can kick them out.
On what charge? Well, yeah, you can kick them out, but on what charge would you charge them?
I don't think they'd be charged, but you can block them from participating on the Zoom.
Do they not have a right to share their political points
of view?
Okay,
so think about this.
Even if it is abhorrent?
You have the right in a public courthouse to go in and yell something at the judge. You're going to be removed. The bailiff is going to remove you when you do that.
Right, that's contempt of court. That's a crime.
Do you only get to yell in public forum situations if everyone in the forum agrees with you?
Right.
There it is, Sam.
And if that's the case, then why are we having a public forum if everybody agrees?
Here's what Lawrence is going to do. They're going to get rid of the Zoom. They're going to say it's antiquated. We don't need it. We had this back when there was COVID. Why do we even have the Zoom public
comments?
But
I don't think, okay, one of my friends just said you don't have the right to disrupt the meeting.
No, you don't.
That does violate the rules of decorum. You don't have the right to disrupt the meeting.
Define disrupt.
This would be disruptive. Come on.
But if I say
something... Screaming profane language would be disruptive.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, the C word, dropping the C word in a meeting, I would argue is disruptive.
If it's hindering the business, they can limit hate speech and disruption if it's hindering official business.
But what if it's during the public comment session, which is not official business?
So you get like what? You get 3 minutes to spew your crap?
Yes. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. My name is Scott. Here on KMBZ. Couple things from the text line. Let me address this very quickly, if I may. Scott, have you ever even been to a city council meeting?
Oh, God.
Surely you went as a reporter. I've been to hundreds.
The hours and hours spent sitting through, slogging through those meetings so that we could bring you, the viewing or listening audience, the wrap of what did or didn't happen. I would rather forget most
often
of the hours.
I
would rather forget most of those hours in my life.
Waiting for something interesting to happen so you can wake back up and write it down.
I remember my first job at KOFO in Ottawa. I used to have to go cover the library board meetings.
Well, you never know.
Well, you never know when they're going to...
Things could get freaky at the library board meetings. Things could get freaky at the library board meetings.
Buy a new book.
We are reorganizing the Dewey Decimal System.
Really? Really?
From the text line... I have seen people intentionally create a disturbance so that the police will escort them out. Yes, that is true. Here's a great question. 4289, brilliant point. How do you, as a public radio forum, handle hate speech? I would suspect that you would cut them off prior to it being broadcast.
Yes.
While yes, the airwaves that we broadcast on are publicly owned.
Our corporation is private.
That's exactly right. We are owned by a private company.
Plus, I'm right here. Your hate speech, and you're not getting in.
What are you talking about? Sam's got cat-like reflexes.
I got no time for that. Mike in Overland Park, 586-7798. Mike, hello. Good afternoon.
Hi. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Along the line of what you were just talking about, the Constitution's a wonderful thing. Freedom of the speech in the First Amendment says you can say whatever you want, but it doesn't say there might not be consequences.
That is correct.
So if you say something, there could be a consequence. You could be asked to leave the meeting. And one of the comments I was going to make was the same thing that you do in your radio. You have kind of a kill switch. They can do the same thing as Dana talked about earlier with the concept of decorum in a public meeting. You can't allow it to go that way. And someone can either be cut off from saying that or, as you stated, asked to leave. Additionally, anybody who does this in a public forum, depending upon their job, could lose their job, and it's perfectly legal.
That's right.
That is correct.
That is absolutely right.
I think what we have to get back to are the rules of decorum with these types of meetings. There are rules of decorum. You can't just go in screaming. Now, what they can't do, and there was a lawsuit about this locally a couple weeks ago, where a school board candidate came in to say something during public comment, and it wasn't hate speech. It wasn't threatening. They shut her down because she lost the election. They shut her down. She just won a mega lawsuit over that.
Was that out of Gardner?
I have to look it up. I was going to say
Gardner Edgerton.
Let me go look it up. She won that lawsuit because she was removed from her right to have public forum comment.
Now, what you can do and what we can all get behind is burst out in song.
There's an unwelcome sight in the neighborhood. A developer is being greedy. There's a hole in the sky where a tree once stood. Such a lack of life and sound. All that's left is bare, muddy ground. A magnificent tree was murdered. The mighty dollar cut it down. There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was.
Somebody's making money.
Everybody! Come on, sing along. You know the lyrics.
Tree once was. Somebody's making money. Laws protect exceptional trees, but the city grants exemptions to
these.
Instead, they reward the developer's greed and sanction the murderer's deeds.
Okay.
There's a hole in the sky
we can all agree.
We're cutting her off.
No, we can all agree that that is not disruptive. That is a gift that she bestowed upon all of us, and it is the gift that keeps on giving. It's like number 4,392 on Spotify.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly right.
No more leaves shimmering with golden light, no more gentle shedding of rain, nor tulip blossoms rustling in the wind. Now nothing remains.
Everybody!
Hole in the sky where the tree once was. Somebody's making money.
The funniest part's at the end. Remember the city council guy goes, thank you, Darlene,
thank you.
For that very
interesting. Thank you, Suzanne. That was Suzanne. A very wonderful presentation. I do have to make for the record to reflect that that is a second warning for disturbance because of group participation. I really love the song. I am saying for
future,
I have to maintain consistent boundaries forever. So thank you very much for that.
So Suzanne, that was disturbing in nature because
you enlisted the help of
everybody,
others.
And the song is so catchy. You heard them all join in. How could you not?
In chorus number 3, yeah, she steps back from the mic. You can hear her. Yeah. And everybody else is chiming in, too.
Once was somebody's making money. There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was. Somebody's making money. There's a hole in the sky, in the sky.
Until I'm dead and in the ground.
Instead of a spreading canopy.
What?
Until the moment I am dead and in the ground, if there is ever, ever an opportunity to play that on this program, it will be done.
Oh, we will take it. We will take
because
it.
Because there is a hole in the ground where a tree once stood.
And somebody's making money.
Right? You heard him say she violated the rules of decorum. Mm-hmm. And that's what my friend who's an attorney said.
Second offense.
I mean, she was warned.
There's a hole in the sky.
Oh, God, now we're...
She ran out of words. In the sky,
Now we're harmonizing.
Instead of a 90-year-old tree...
I love her so much. Does she know she's gone viral in Kansas City? I'm pretty sure that was Seattle, by the way.
It was either Seattle or Oregon. It was one of the two.
God bless that woman. It's the gift that
there's a hole in the sky where a tree once stood.
Gift just keeps on giving.
You know, somebody's making money. Everybody.
Keeps on giving.
Oh, there's a whole foundation now called Hole in the Sky.
Every single time. really quick, not necessarily looking to make this a topic, but speaking of protests, there is a protest tonight at 5 p.m. at Westport and Broadway where that horrible crash happened where the fire truck crashed into an SUV that then crashed into a pedestrian. 3 were killed, and as we told you last week, that firefighter was fighting to get his job back. He has been reinstated.
Wow.
And there's a protest at 5 o'clock because of that. Actually, his supervised probation does allow him to get back behind the wheel
of
a vehicle. I think he pleaded no contest. The firefighter T-boned the Honda that Jennifer San Nichols and Michael Elwood were riding in. They were pronounced dead at the scene. That impact caused their car to collide with pedestrian Tammy Knight, who was
also
pronounced dead at the scene. Not only can the firefighter, Dominic Mascari, return as a firefighter, but also he will be allowed to drive fire trucks to calls.
Wow. Wow.
Quoting here from a friend of one of the victims, it was his first time behind the wheel of a fire truck, and he killed 3 people. I feel like the minimum they can do is at least tell us he won't be driving again. So that we could see some form of justice here.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to kmbz.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Today is Earth Day. What are you doing?
I came into work with my windows rolled down. Oh, we pulled weeds. What? We pulled some weeds. We pulled some weeds. We did.
Also, what?
I pulled weeds today for Earth Day.
What? What does that have to do with Earth Day?
So you killed bits of the Earth?
Yeah, you killed life?
Weeds to make way for actual growth of actual growing things.
With unnatural grasses.
That's earthy. You're welcome.
Ooh, weed is a naturally growing thing. Gives off oxygen.
Mm-hmm. It takes my oxygen when I look out in the patio cracks and I see it.
So you hurt the Earth today. Views on climate change have long been associated with partisanship, and they still are, but age is now a factor too. Younger Americans are even more likely to say the U.S. needs to take steps to at least try to slow global warming. There is now a sense of urgency for many in the public. A large majority think it needs to be addressed at least in the next few years, including half who think it needs to be addressed right now. There is a sense that we should address climate change, and there's also some belief that we actually can. By the way, the leading contributors to pollution in the United States has gone down.
Yes. Oh,
we've done a remarkable job.
We have. I was watching Morning Joe today, and they had on a bunch of charts. The U.S., U.K. is leading the way.
Good.
In lowering their emissions.
Good.
The United States is down. Canada and Germany are down. Even China is down a little bit. Mm. Biggest violator on the planet, would you care to guess?
India.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
India is the number one polluter on the planet now.
The generation that will walk us out of this crisis, I firmly believe, is Z and beyond. I think they understand in a way that maybe we didn't, that something needs to be done.
By the way, Dana, a very easy answer for what did you do for Earth Day would have been, I drove my Tesla to work.
Thank you, Sam. And every day.
So every day you're helping Mother Earth.
I know, right?
I recycled the cardboard in a toilet paper roll.
Okay. I recycle.
And it went right to the landfill.
Stop it.
Yeah, don't say that to him. It stresses him out. Don't say that to him. It stresses him out. And it stresses me out.
By the way, you know, we've talked for years on this program about the pollution problem, the trash on the highways here in Kansas City. How refreshing it was for me. I went to the gym this morning, and I'm driving home, and I see on the side little signs that say litter control next 5 miles or whatever.
Yeah, they're all doing it today, as a matter of fact.
They were everywhere today.
Yeah.
On 435 on the Kansas side and all along Shawnee Mission Parkway. They were everywhere.
Today, volunteers, city staff, local departments all combed over parks and public spaces across the city to pick up waste.
Yeah.
They were around 63rd and Paseo, 49th Street. And my goodness, I saw, I think it was Martin Augustine that did one of the stories, just the mound of trash, because in some of those spots, people treat it as a dump.
Yeah.
For someone else to come around and handle.
Yeah. You pick it up. Well, they were out on 435 and all along Shawnee Mission Parkway this morning.
Good.
And it was great to see them out there picking up trash. But you know, I say that. Mm. It makes me mad
that we have to have the cleanup.
Exactly. That's what I was
saying. But then you're happy that they're cleaning it up.
Yeah.
Right?
I was happy that they were out there cleaning it up. But why are they out there cleaning it up?
Now,
and it's not because, let's be clear. Sorry, Sam, I don't mean to interrupt you. I beg your pardon. It's not because you've got your windows rolled down and a receipt just blows out of your car and onto the side of the highway.
No.
This is because you're eating McDonald's, you finish your meal, you roll up the bag, and you just toss it out the window.
Or it's the trash trucks.
I was going to say, KNBC 9 News recently did a deep investigation into this, and they found that a major offender was the trash trucks. But I will say, I have personally seen many times people pull up to a stoplight, roll their window down, just nonchalantly reach their hand out.
Are you serious? Have you not seen that? And just drop
a full bag of trash right there in the middle of the road.
Okay, no, wait. You know I'm not a honker or a Kermit the Frogger, and I'm no longer a Flip the Birder. But if I saw someone just casually dump trash out, I would shame them immediately.
I was driving down the road the other day, Sam and Dana, and this was on Shawnee Mission Parkway between 435 and my house. And I'm just driving down the road minding my own business. This person had clearly been to Sonic because it was a white styrofoam cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just driving behind him. It's like 55 miles per hour. And I see a white styrofoam cup fly out the passenger window of their car. I could have screamed bloody murder. That makes me so angry. It's so disrespectful.
It wasn't me, officer. It went out the passenger window.
And why can't you just wait till you get to where you're going and toss it there?
Because that cup holder needs to be empty for the rest of my drive.
No, it does
not. That cup is in the way of my right arm, and it must be removed from my vehicle.
What is the fine? If
$500.
It's $500 for real.
Mm-hmm. Have you
ever heard of anyone getting caught?
No.
Ever.
The worst part is they know it's wrong, so they look around to see if there's
that's
any
exactly
cops around
right.
before they do
so,
it.
So what they do, that's right. They look around. They see the guy behind him is in a Kia. Well, a Kia is a foreign-made car, so it can't be a cop car. All cop cars have to be domestically produced. And so if there's a Kia behind him, me, they know I'm not a cop.
Is that a law?
I don't know if it's a law or if it's a city ordinance, but yeah, all cop cars are domestically produced.
By the way, Dana, you like to give me advice to not honk at people as often. I went to honk at someone this weekend, and guess what stopped working on my truck?
Did your horn stop?
My horn stopped working.
That's a sign from God.
What does that say to you, Samuel?
It says that the fuse went out, and I'm going to replace it tonight.
No, it says that you have overused that in a manner in which it is not healthy for you or those around you.
It was just really funny. I went to honk and
see,
nothing.
I perceive providence here, and God knew that if that person had heard you honking at them, they would have killed you, Sam.
Okay.
And so God made sure that your horn did not work.
So why does it still not work?
Because you're in horn timeout.
Yeah. God has put you in horn timeout.
You are in horn timeout, and for that I am thankful.
Continued divine intervention.
All right, so speaking of horn, I forgot that many weeks ago I went on Amazon and I bought like the number one rated personal alarm, ladies, for all of us, like in a, you know, if you're in a parking garage where I believe someone was shot over the weekend just off the plaza.
That's right.
She was.
And I, first of all, would not be in a parking garage alone, but I'm going to have my cell phone in one hand, and then I have this little contraption in another hand. And it's about the size of a vape pen, and it hooks, like with one of those really fancy hooks that if you're a hiker, you rappel down a mountain with.
They call it a carabiner.
Yeah, a carabiner on my purse. And if you pull this thing out, all hell breaks loose, ladies.
Can you play it?
I will shut off my microphone.
Is it that loud?
Oh, yeah. And it flashes.
Okay.
So I'm going to have my cell phone in one hand and this thing in the other hand. It's called a Birdie. And I've given them to my daughters.
Can you turn it off once you start it?
Yeah, I've just got to shove that thing back in. But let me turn my microphone off. You just pull it out and then, yeah, hang on. I'll show. I'm going to turn my mic off so it doesn't, you know, right?
Like too loud.
Yeah, this is on your microphone. Okay, ready? You just pull it. Ready? Sound that loud from over there, but trust me, it is.
Turn your microphone. That's not that loud. Turn your microphone.
Okay.
I think it's
it goes
okay.
Like this. Oh, God, that is loud. Okay, that is loud.
Oh, my. Oh, gosh.
I can't get it back in. I can't get it back in. Oh, okay. Sorry. Now it's back in. So
that is not that loud. You need something louder.
Nope.
Your voice is louder than that.
No, did you? Well, hello. I would be screaming, rapist! Did you also notice that my
you'd be like, what's that faint hum under her screaming?
Did you also notice that the strobe light that goes off, Sam? I mean, if you have epilepsy, do not look at that thing.
No, you're going into full seizure.
Yeah. So it's also, if it's dark out, it lights the way.
Okay.
Yeah. I just got it yesterday. I'm so excited. Gave it to the girls last night. Yep. Don't leave home without it.
913-586-7798. What just happened?
Nobody kidnapping me. Ain't happening.
Dana, it's not that loud.
No, you need something much louder.
It's loud enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, right. Yeah, it is.
We need to get you laughing and then
if you're in a parking
that
garage
thing and see what's louder.
You know what I'm saying? If you're in a parking garage
with the echo.
Oh my goodness.
913-586-7798 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Sad news here. A tourist plunged 250 feet to her death in Indonesia after tripping while taking photos.
I knew you were going to say it. Was it a selfie?
On the edge of an active volcano.
Okay.
The woman, who is identified as a 31-year-old Chinese woman, was with her husband on a guided tour at a volcano park in East Java in Indonesia when she tumbled into the crater on Saturday. The couple had climbed to the top of the active volcano, which is known for its popular blue fire phenomenon, to catch the sunrise. The tour guide later told authorities that she had initially kept a safe distance from the edge of the crater after being repeatedly warned of the dangers of posing for pictures. But she then started walking backward to inch closer and then accidentally stepped on her long clothing, tripped, and fell into the mouth of the volcano.
Well, they're not going in to get her.
There's nothing left to get.
Do we have an update, by the way, with the influencers that went in and snatched the bear cubs out of the tree, injuring one of the bear cubs?
Oh, no.
I did hear over the weekend that the women who were giggling and pulling those poor bears out of the tree are influencers.
Bear cubs.
They are influencers. And I don't know why that makes me more mad that they took the bears out of the tree. The bears have to now be removed from their mother, Scott, and will have to be raised in captivity.
For at least six years.
6 years?
Yes.
4 to 6 years old is when they can be released. But
the bears were in a tree, and these idiots just go over and start pulling them out of the tree so they can take a selfie.
Hang on, I got the story right here.
God, it makes me so mad.
Here we go.
Things that you might not even think about. And you wouldn't even believe it unless there was video proof of it. So I'm going to show you proof of how dumb people can be. This group of people in North Carolina picked up bear cubs, like actually bear cubs, from a tree. And they wanted to pose with the cubs for selfies. They were literally, as you saw, reaching over the fence, pulling the babies out of the tree branches. And then they took turns holding them. And to make it worse, one person even dropped one of the cubs. Police were called, and the group was gone by the time they arrived. But the real trouble is that, well, you know, if Mama Bear had arrived.
I wish Mama Bear had.
That's what I was saying. Where was the mama?
Man, I wish she had arrived.
Where was the mama?
Probably out getting food. Bears don't feed themselves.
Anyway, we will let you know if and when there are charges. It is a felony to tamper with a bear den or nest in North Carolina, but we have seen nothing with respect to charges over the weekend.
Longtime mall retailer Express has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection today, but a group of investors led by brand management WHP Global is looking to save the company by acquiring it. Express... Sam, you're familiar with this company. I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are. This was since we were
Express?
Roaming the malls. Oh, it's been around forever. It's like Maurice's. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember Maurice's.
Got to go in and get my high-end Express jeans.
It's a little brass buckly.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe they're still around. I'm going to be honest.
All right. Well, they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection this morning.
Because they were around, but nobody was in there.
How is Brass Buckle still open, by the
How
way?
How is Maurice's still around?
I know.
I mean, really? Okay. Here's one. We got a new passenger for Jerk Air.
Okay.
Shocking footage shows a vicious thug, this is according to the New York Post, pummeling cops and cabin crew members on a flight from the UK to Turkey over the weekend. The spectacle drew terrified screams from other passengers, including a little girl who can be seen covering her face with her hands before she is comforted by her mother. Footage shows the rowdy EasyJet passenger wearing a green and white striped Celtic Football Club shirt, wildly throwing punches at flight attendants who are trying to detain him as the flight landed just after 8 o'clock on Saturday. The incensed man can be heard shouting, "You're a blanking blank," while pointing at another passenger. Both of those words start with F. According to the paper, passengers say the soccer fan, okay, just because he's wearing a soccer shirt doesn't make him a fan.
Get so defensive over there.
Wow. That's like every time police are like, "We need your help finding the person who robbed this bank." And they're always in like a Royals or a Chiefs ad. It's like, really?
Doesn't mean they're a fan. They just went to the store and got themselves a hat.
Kind of does.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to buy the $110 shirt because it has that logo that I'm not a fan of. Sorry, continue.
Airline. I don't like you right now. Airline crew members also found an empty 24-ounce bottle of vodka.
No.
Yep.
No.
Only 24 ounces? Come on, man. Step up your game.
That's only two soda cans. That's a listen. That's quite a bit of vodka, though, Sam. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah, that's a ton.
Okay. I thought you were. Celtic, one of Scottish soccer's most infamous teams, beat Aberdeen over the weekend.
Okay. The KC Current, if you missed it on social, go find this.
5-2
has released renderings of the club's vision for a riverfront mixed use development. And it is incredible. If you could just picture
KC
Current Stadium surrounded by a tiny little city unto itself, that's what this looks like.
That's beautiful.
Buildings, restaurants, hotels, everywhere all along that riverfront.
Wow. When we get back, we've talked about this in the past, but apparently it's becoming a way of life here in Kansas City. Prepping.
Oh, God. Like for a meal or for like the end of the world?
Not for a meal.
The downfall of society?
Been a while since we've talked about the preppers. For whom and for what are we prepping?
The end of the world.
Okay. Okay.
Get your canned beans, people.
Get it while it's hot. Woo! We'll get to that and much more coming up in just a moment. Here on Dana and Parks, the news is next. Here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.